ESPN 97.5,
KFNC, and 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
They blew an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, third straight loss against the Knicks. Ime Udoka called them soft in the losing effort. We'll see if they can get back in the win column tonight against Brooklyn. You want to weigh in on that? You can. 713-780-3776. Also, in the third hour of the show yesterday, we broke the news that Nick Caley is the new Houston Texans offensive coordinator. If you want to chime in on that conversation, everything on the table. Yesterday, we saw some very interesting news about a guy that used to be the best wide receiver, at least statistically, in the NFL. I want to say it was 2-3 years ago that you could have made a case if you wanted to, given that he was the Triple Crown leader at the wide receiver position, that Cooper Kupp was the league's best. Cooper Kupp put out this post, the Rams wide receiver, on Twitter yesterday, quote, "I was informed that the team will be seeking a trade immediately and will be working with me and my family to find the right place to continue competing for championships. I don't agree with the decision and always believed it was going to begin and end in LA. Still, if there's one thing I've learned over the years, there are so many things that are out of your control. It is how you respond to these things that you look back on and remember. 2024 began with one of the best training camps of my career. Preparations start now for 2025. Highly motivated, as healthy as ever, and looking forward to playing elite football for years to come. Love you guys, but coming for it all."
So they're going through a hard reset, it looks like. Cooper Kupp, we had reports that Matt Stafford probably will play next year, but potentially not in
He could be elsewhere as well. Right.
Which is interesting. Immediately, I think the Texans' antennas go up right away because of what they need at wide receiver, right?
It depends. Do not trade for this guy.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree. I would not trade for him at all. You wait till he gets cut.
You have to have diamond hands right now. I understand the temptation for a lot of Texans fans out there to slam the table and say, we need receivers. Some of you people are a little bit too fantasy football cultured. You're a little bit too deep in. Those are a lot of the people that were like, they need to trade for every single wide receiver last year. Was the Stephon Diggs trade ultimately a successful trade? Unfortunately, no, because he didn't make it through the whole year. And you only have him for 1 year, and you gave up a second-round pick to get him. Hey, them's the breaks. Had Diggs had a good year, you make it to a Super Bowl, you make it to an AFC Championship game, different story. Are you going to do that again with someone like Cooper Kupp, who is not the Cooper Kupp of old? Are you going to bring back Stephon Diggs when it stands to reason that Stephon Diggs is not going to be the Stephon Diggs of old? It would make more sense to bring back Stephon Diggs than trading for Cooper Kupp. But I'm of the mindset that you wait for receivers to be cut this offseason. There will be markets for some of these guys, but the salary situations for a guy like Tyreek Hill, for a guy like Cooper Kupp, it lends itself to, if you sit back patiently and those guys get cut, guess where they're going to want to play? So this is, I think, the way the Texans should be looking at their wide receiver position when it comes to acquiring already in the NFL talent. Wait and see what might fall into your lap. And if you don't get anything then you focus on what you can potentially get in the draft. Maybe you put a little bit more effort into that position and you think about maybe getting a guy towards the back of the first round. Mm-hmm. I do think you should be focusing on the offensive line there, but sometimes best player available, wide receiver should be up there. But wait it out. See who's available, including with Cooper Kupp. I would love to see Cooper Kupp here. I still think you got to wait.
Well, also think about what happened in the regular season last year. The Texans trade a second-round pick for Stephon Diggs. And pretty quickly after he gets injured, Amari Cooper gets traded for what? Was it like a sixth-round pick? It's like we saw some veteran wide receivers get moved in-season this year for late draft capital. The in-season market's very different than the off-season market for what you would have to do to acquire those guys. I would be I think signing Cooper Kupp would be awesome. There's still something there in terms of just being a possession wide receiver. You don't need him to be a big play guy. It would make a ton of sense. My gut tells me, Paul, like he will not make it to that. That someone like the Patriots, Commanders, these teams with a ton of cap space with young quarterbacks will be more aggressive and they will look to add Cooper Kupp to their team. But if he were to hit the market, it's a no-brainer. Like, it's exactly what Stephon Diggs was last year.
If the Rams are doing the hard reset, they might be willing to take on more of his money too if they were to move him elsewhere. And I'm sure that the Rams, seeing as they're already saying right now, hey, we're going to trade you, and Cooper Kupp made it public, it's out. Someone's going to make an offer. The question might be more about how much leverage do the Rams have saying that publicly?
Yeah, it just feels like more like they're just telling the rest of the league of like, hey, please come to us. Like, please send in your best offers. We're willing to make this trade happen as soon as possible. Paul, for some microphone, is currently happening in the studio.
My microphone has erectile dysfunction.
It definitely does.
It just keeps on drooping.
I was literally typing in the document that this is going to be the social media clip.
Just tell Sam to cut this part out.
Okay, cut this part
out. Cut this part out. All right.
One ten exactly, cut it off.
All right, hard reset. It would be a good signing for the Texans if he was made available. I would not trade for him. No matter what they're eating for in LA for his contract, you only have like $5 million in cap space right now. Projected $6 million. So you can't really do that. You can't really trade for him without making major roster moves first. And it just feels like all that stuff will play out by the time he's actually on the move. But if they're putting this out right now, they must also have a feel that teams will want him. Somebody will want him at least.
Sure. And they told him that. Did they expect Kupp to post this publicly? Well, you give him this information. There's a very good chance that he's going to do it. And he's going to say goodbye before the actual trade itself happens. And he does want to be there next year, for what it's worth. But I do think it stands to reason that maybe Matt Stafford could be on the move elsewhere as well. If that were to go down, he's Joe, I'm Paul. The new offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans is Nick Caley. And this is a guy who comes from an offense that C.J. Stroud likes a lot. This is C.J. Stroud at training camp after the Texans had joint practices with the Los Angeles Rams, talking about specifically Sean McVay.
I'm a super fan of his, the type of scheme he runs, the way he calls it, you know, the way he uses guys in motion and just a whole bunch of different things. And he just seems like a good guy. And, you know, he just had some tips and pointers, also showed me a lot of love, you know, which I appreciate. But, you know, I appreciate him more than he knows, just watching film, not even knowing him, just like getting better from the stuff that he does in that offense, along with Matt and those guys. So, you know, it's definitely just an honor just to know that he knows me, you know, which is dope.
He loves Sean McVay. He loves Matt Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he would love Cooper Kupp. It would make a lot of sense. But this goes back to the idea of, like, maybe CJ, like, really knows what he's talking about here. And that's why Nick Caley is the offensive coordinator for the Texans, because he likes what's going down in L.A.
It's probably if there was a sign-off factor, it stands to reason that he has every single reason to sign off on Nick Caley, but there's also the Nick Caserio ties. I think that's the biggest thing, and the fact that he interviewed with them already, another huge factor here. I'm sure that D'Amico Ryans was not that difficult to persuade, especially now when you see all the raving that's being done. Peter Schrager's putting things out there. The Jets had him as their number one offensive coordinator candidate. McVay even said some complimentary things about him leading up to the end of the year. At his, I think, end of season press conference, mm-hmm. saying like, hey, like we know there's going to be interest in him. Here's more CJ Stroud. He's talking about the Patriots and Rams offenses and things that he likes about both. This is long before Nick Caley.
Getting out the huddle, breaking the huddle the right way. All the elite teams I ever watched growing up, Patriots. I watched Stafford a lot with the Rams. I can go so on and so forth, man. You watch it on TV as a kid, you see how quick they break from the huddle when they get on the line of scrimmage, and the defense feels that. And now you get an opportunity to read the defense a little more, and I think that's where we can take the next level.
That's something that was just brought up on our Twitch by Ron. Can this new guy get plays in faster than Bobby Slowick? Yeah, That is incredibly a very basic thing that a lot of teams do a poor job with. It drove me effing crazy. And Cowboys fans, get ready for this. With Brian Schottenheimer as offensive coordinator of the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Wilson made it worse. There's no denying it, but the two were linked together. Pete Carroll, you can make the same argument with getting things in late. There's a lot of teams that do this where they're just slow in and out of the huddle. And it is really funny to hear CJ, after a loss against some team last year, saying, yeah, maybe if we were more like the Patriots, more like the Rams, Nick Haley.
And they need to be.
Right.
I mean, think about that fourth down play in the playoffs when there's 6 seconds left on the clock and they're walking to the line of scrimmage and they're not prepared. I mean, because they were so slow, it's not, you know, like we always talk about like the stunts and all these things that are hurting the offensive line and Drew Scruggs, not CJ Stroud, calling out pass protection. Same thing with Jared Patterson. Well, I felt like a lot of times this season, like you're giving these like first or second year players less than like 10 seconds to make these pass protection calls. It took them so long to get to the line of scrimmage. It was a huge problem this year. And it's something they have to fix because the more a quarterback has at the line, the better things will go. And we see Stafford, Brady, Rodgers, Manning, like those quarterbacks who've had great, great success, they're at the line of scrimmage forever. So I do hope that's something that changes dramatically for this team.
We'll see what happens. Nick Haley's the new offensive coordinator. You want to talk about that? You can. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Also, thoughts on going after Cooper Kupp. You can also join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, do you have Chiefs derangement syndrome? And the Rockets lost, but we did have a star moment from the guy that I think is already a star. Stay put.
You're listening to Galante George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
You want to weigh in on the Rockets' collapse against the Knicks last night? The possibility of Cooper Kupp with the Houston Texans? We're on their new offensive coordinator. You can at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. It's how you text. But we do have some pretty interesting Astros news. Courtesy of Chandler Rome. During his address at the team's annual media luncheon, Astros general manager Dana Brown twice spoke about Alex Bregman in the past tense, saying once that the team, quote, lost Bregman. More from said press conference. I know we're missing out on Tucker and we're missing out on Bregman, a line that he repeated.
Okay. That sounds pretty definitive. He said the same thing he said last week after that in a like more, you know, one-on-one Q&A session, it looks like, where he said that the team is still having internal communications about Alex Bregman. No external. So they're still just, they're just talking to each other, Paul. They're just saying, hey, Joe, what do you think about Alex Bregman coming back? That feels like that's the extent of it. But to say we're missing out on Alex Bregman twice, I feel like we can close the door.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. Damn.
It was pretty okay until the end, Paul.
What happened at the end?
Oh, nothing.
The end of the Alex Bregman era? You're right. It was great until the end.
Yeah, when they lost to the Tigers.
When the Astros lost the Tigers and then were unwilling to give him more than 6 years and $156 million and seemingly drew a hard line in the sand about that and about seven-year deals when three-year deals for Jose Abreu and three-year deals for Rafael Montero were totally fine. But yeah. Hey, to each their own. That is noteworthy. So, no chance?
It feels like, I mean, I felt this way yesterday before even, you know, seeing these quotes and hearing a little bit of what Dana was saying. It's nothing's changed. The same teams are being talked about. The Tigers, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Astros. One day, these teams are in. One day, these teams are out. The reporting keeps going back and forth. Like, it seems, it just seems like no one really has any idea what's going on. And now, I think the Astros offer is very fair, because if it wasn't fair, he would have got a better offer somewhere else. And I don't know what he's waiting. I don't know what Alex Bregman's waiting for. I don't know. Because unless he thinks that a team like the Red Sox or the Cubs are going to up their offer to 5 years at the same monetary value that they're offering, you know, 2 or 3 year deals to, well, that's not going to happen. And I think the Astros are out. And like, you don't say we're missing out on Alex Bregman if you feel like you're going to bring him back. You don't admit that you're not, you know, returning Scott Boras's text within a 24-hour time period if you're really interested in bringing back Alex Bregman. There's no aggressiveness there in terms of pursuing this.
At least they're finally providing some clarity as opposed to this murky pushing by Bob Nightingale through likely Jim Crane of the idea that moving Ryan Presley was a way to give the Astros a little bit more money to spend on someone like Alex Bregman.
And it does feel like Bob's connection to the Astros is only Jim Crane. And that might be these internal discussions that Dana Brown has now referenced for the second time of Jim want Bregman, Dana Brown don't. And like, yes, he's the owner, but maybe he's not meddling in the way that he's meddled in the past with like he did with Jeff Bagwell and bringing in Jose Abreu and overpaying Rafael Montero and bringing back Justin Verlander and trading prospects to do so. Like, maybe that's what's happening right now. And if that's what's happening, good. It means that he's letting Dana Brown do his job as the GM of this team and not just calling the shots and spending money the way he wants to do.
Don't you almost want him to call the shots here? I do. The idea of Altuve in left field is one that I just cannot stomach. And I mean, I don't know that they're going to spend on anyone given who's available in the outfield. So at the very least, I'd like to give myself someone who I can put in the infield that allows for a little bit of flexibility and perhaps a little bit of DH by committee, where Altuve is getting it from time to time and Yordan's getting it from time to time. But
I think I'd want some clarity if I was Dana Brown from Jim Crane. Like, if he's so adamant about
I'm guessing he has it.
But about the future of, okay, so you bring back Alex Bregman, you bump it to $30 million, and the next season, Framber Valdez goes off the books, and, you know, the Kyle Tucker money's no longer there, the Montero money's no longer there, the Abreu money's no longer there. What am I allowed to do next offseason? Like, how am I allowed to use all that money that is, you know, allocated to the CBT right now, even for the guys who are no longer on the roster? If Jim Crane is saying, well, the Alex Bregman move means you won't be able to do much, then I would be saying, well, like, I got to replace Framber. Like, I got to be able to spend money somewhere next offseason. If I'm not going to be able to bring Framber back at $20 million a year, I got to probably add a starting pitcher. You know, we probably will have to add to the outfield at some point this year or next year. And if you sign Alex Bregman, you can't do any of those things. Then I understand why Dana Brown would be hesitant to. Also, Dana Brown's highly analytical. He might view the slow starts to Alex Bregman very differently than all of us, to where he's really concerned about the future of it. And I think that's probably why Alex Bregman's not on a team yet, is because people are wondering if these slow starts will continue to creep longer and longer into the seasons. So I just don't think, like, if you go all in on Bregman, you have to think about the future too. And my guess is, like, that would be the internal discussion that they're having about it, because Altuve was in left field yesterday. He'll probably be back out there again today, and we'll get some weird videos of it. But, like, that's happening no matter what. So I don't even think that's even a factor at this point.
That's very interesting. He's Joe. I'm Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. But that's what we got from Dana Brown today at the Astros media luncheon. More on things that took place there at 1:45 as we continue our countdown. But in case you're just tuning in, Dana Brown spoke twice about Alex Bregman in the past tense at said luncheon, and also said they're no longer talking to Alex Bregman or Scott Boras. All conversations remain internal. Up next, we're getting closer and closer to Super Bowl licks. And in Super Bowl licks, hey, let's talk about some of the biggest storylines and some of the amazing moments that happened at last night's opening night. Stick around, Golan and George. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975 and you know what's going to happen to you. All sorts of wonderful things. You're going to get a deposit bonus. Hell yeah. But guess what? At MyBookie.ag, you got to be betting on things on Thursdays. Because on Thursdays, there's risk-free bets. So maybe there's something you want to bet coming right around the corner. Guess what? If you bet on it on Thursday, you are going to have quite the time. But you could also bet on the big game. There are so many props that you can play with in this one. Whether it's how long the national anthem is going to be, what color the Gatorade's going to be, all of the fun prop bets to make your big game watching experience better are there. Taylor Swift props. Taylor Swift on TV during America the Beautiful. Taylor Swift on TV during the national anthem. Who will be seen first during the national anthem, Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift? Will Taylor Swift be mentioned by any stage performer during the halftime show? Will she be shown live after the Chiefs' first touchdown? Will she be shown live after Kelce's first reception? Will Kelce do the heart hand celebration? Will Taylor Swift be shown on TV during the first quarter? What will happen first? Swift shown live or either team scores a touchdown? When will Taylor Swift be shown the first time? First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and overtime? All of that and more at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Super Bowl licks.
You keep calling that. Because that's what the Roman numerals spell. I'm not a pervert. Don't tell me to bonk myself. No. No. By the way, the big game for mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Chiefs, 1-point favorites. Yesterday, Chiefs and Eagles players and coaches met with the media for what they now call opening night. Basically, all the players are put in front of a bazillion different people who are all trying to ask them questions. You can almost never hear the actual questions being asked, but they just sit up there and they answer a few questions. Both Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were asked about the idea of the Kansas City Chiefs being villains.
I don't even think it's embracing being the villains. We embrace who we are. And we believe we play the game the right way. We believe that we play with a lot of heart and a lot of passion for the game. And then we win football games. And if winning football games makes you a villain, we're going to keep going out there and doing it.
Regardless, do you guys enjoy being the villains of the NFL?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. At one point in time, it wasn't that. And,
yeah, you were the cinder. You guys were the darling of the NFL.
Yeah, I was the do you feel bad for him guys. And
you're now the heel.
It's like it just makes us even more of a family.
Ooh, family.
You know, the guys from Fast and Furious, they're considered outlaws. They're considered villains by some. Terrorists, even.
Heroes by others.
That means it doesn't matter because they're family. Yeah, I mean, which one's Hobbs and which one's Shaw?
Hobbs is the Rock.
Shaw killed Han, and then they're still part of a family.
Mm-hmm. Bury the hatchet.
He's also not he's alive.
Yeah, spoiler Han alert. Also spoiler alert, faked his own death,
but he practically killed him.
Yes, yeah. At the time they believed he killed him.
Yeah, we didn't know for like 12 years.
And the Chiefs believe that being called villains is making them closer and closer. Jalen Hurts says that this time around, a rematch of Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl from just 2 years ago. He says he's motivated by the last Super Bowl loss. He also was asked by a reporter, how do I get more handsome?
How can I get more handsome?
Car.
How can I get more handsome? My girlfriend says the most handsome quarterback in the league. Any advice? Like, something to do with my hair? I'm desperate for anything.
I don't know if I can help you on that one. That sounds like a DNA thing.
Damn. Every headline after that question and answer says, Jalen Hurts roasts reporter.
I wouldn't say it's a roasting.
No, he answered the question to the girlfriend, which I don't think exists.
Yeah, probably not, if you're asking that question.
This man, how he could be more handsome, so we asked it, and Jalen Hurts gave him that word of wisdom, which is, you're effed.
I think
you're screwed, and you're an ugly bastard.
Yeah, I think once I really started paying attention to like the Monday Night Circus for Super Bowl week is when I realized that there's a lot of stupid people in media. I just... Why?
Wow, Joe.
Why? Why are we doing this?
I mean, they're trying to go viral.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all about
that's
clout.
What it is. That's what Media Day is actually the most... Right, opening night. Ooh, is actually the most, like, just... fest there is of just... It is people... It's the media making it about themselves.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. The media making the Super Bowl... one day of the Super Bowl about themselves.
You're right.
Where they... It is more about them trying to go viral than it is whatever Jalen Hurts says. It doesn't matter what Jalen Hurts says. What matters is that guy got to yell a question at Jalen Hurts.
Trashweiler from Jim Budd and Josh Innes was probably the best thing, though, a couple years ago. That I enjoyed.
On media night?
Yeah.
Opening night?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only good thing.
Yeah. And when Tom Brady cried. That was pretty good.
There's been a lot of good moments. There's been a lot of good moments. People are
of recent years.
People are playing the game, Joe, and you're like, they're all stupid.
They're
all stupid. That's not a dumb question. It's a better question than the majority of questions Jalen Hurts got this year.
Like,
I'm just imagining some random dork Eagles reporter who's like, yeah, you guys have run a lot more 12 personnel than 11 personnel this question. Shut up, dude. You've never played. Stop talking.
Okay? Yeah, I just think like the whole night's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I don't. I think
they should have ended it after.
We learned Taylor Swift makes great cupcakes. Sons of bitches. My bad. Same thing.
After the face of the cup, the way you would make it is basically a cup. After Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Like that, you're not going to top that because that was an authentically good moment. Now it's like again a whole bunch of YouTubers trying to go
yeah,
viral.
Yeah, I like that. What's wrong with that?
Go blow.
Why aren't we there?
I don't know.
You didn't want to go.
Your middle management Joe. I would have gone though.
I'm going. Where isn't that next year?
I do think that Radio
next
Row is...
Next time ask him, he'll say he doesn't want to go. Just book it anyway.
Like, we're going.
Yeah, like, what? I'm overruling middle management Joe here? Let's be honest. So that's not how the power dynamics of this show work.
What are you talking about?
You... Listen. I do think Radio Row is a disservice to the listener. Because
the constant
interviews lends themselves to... uninteresting conversations unless you happen to get a guest who is engaged. And generally, those guests aren't people that are a big enough deal for others to sit down and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah, the relevant guests stopped coming on the local radio shows probably right after, like, I would say Houston. Like, we saw, like, the change. And then definitely after the pandemic. And now you have to get an A-level guest. To get a B-level guest, you have to book 5 D-level guests. But we're not going next year either because I'm not going to San Francisco, so...
Dang.
I guess we could. I guess it's in Santa Clara. Is that better?
I think that's... I mean, it's just a suburb.
I'm actually surprised they're going back because there's a lot of complaining about that. I'm sure that California will get itself cleaned up by then, though. And we thank Gavin Newsom for his service. More from opening night. Travis Kelce asked the liberal media this question.
If I could ask the media one question, why are you guys leaning into this whole ref thing? You know what I mean? Like, why are you guys leaning into it? That's all I got, though.
You know what I'm saying?
Clicks. That's why. It does numbies for people.
The complaining about the referees?
And
yes,
like,
it does.
And conspiracy theories. Yes.
You're right.
It does huge numbers. That's why media attaches to it.
I have Instagram is back on my phone now.
Oh,
and,
really?
Not
big
good.
Change.
There's a lot. I stumbled into a lot of terrible conspiracy theories online, and the amount of people that were buying into them, I'm like, good God, guys, you need to step away. And then I thought to myself, it's 1:15 in the morning, and I just played a flag football game. Maybe I need to step away. And then I threw my phone underneath my bed.
I was like, it was like 2:15 in the morning last night, and I was like, man, Batman really, needs to like kill the Joker right now and end this movie because I'm ready to go to sleep.
What movie?
Dark Knight. Okay. I just threw it on.
You started it at like midnight?
I was doing some work and I just was like, I threw it on and then I got hooked. Bad decision.
Man. But you know how it ends. Like,
I know.
Yeah, you just to stay awake.
I know, but I love the movie. I just didn't want to
I do
it.
Too, but okay.
It got to that point where I was like, I feel like I'm just pot committed.
I've put it on like just on whatever streaming it's on, and then just left it playing as I went and got food and come back, just like it's still on, like it's on TV and I can't pause it.
Yeah,
that was the I'm on TNT lock of the weekend.
Yes,
every single weekend for a while. That and a couple of the Star Wars movies and all of the Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
lock. It'll be on TNT. Jalen Carter was asked what the key to stopping Patrick Mahomes. He said one thing is to sack him.
Okay. I think that makes a lot of sense. Just hit him. You know, maybe a little dirty. He did like look like he knocked a guy out in the Washington game with a punch to the face.
Well, better to knock him out than to you know, cause an accident. But hey, you know, he's on to the Super Bowl list. Good for Jalen Carter. DeAndre Hopkins, former Texan wide receiver, former Titans wide receiver, admitted that he took himself out of a Titans loss against the Bills and thanked Amy Adams Strunk for trading him to another team.
Interesting. Admitting to it, I guess, like, she didn't want to be there anymore. So now he's in the Super Bowl. And just tell all the bad secrets.
He was annoyed he wasn't getting enough targets in said game and the way that things were going. So, yeah, he just subbed himself out. People thought he was benched, and he's like, no, I just left.
And it's a nice little thank you there. I'm sure she really deserved it, you know, for bringing you in and then getting rid of you.
It is really funny that she's getting thanked for trading him, and then he hates the Texans because they traded him.
We got traded for pennies, he said.
Yeah, he's still upset that he got traded for so little and that he got traded.
Because it was disrespectful to the then DeAndre Hopkins.
To trade him for just a second round pick?
And David Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's the angst is fair. Kind of curious if they'll be able to repair that relationship. Like they've repaired a lot of the other ones. I feel like this one's going to be a little more challenging.
Oh, it'll be very challenging, yeah. There's no reason for DeAndre to. Like DeAndre was the one who took the most issue with Bob and Mayer saying that the prisoners are running... The inmates are running the prison, and yeah, I don't think he feels any better about Cal. This is going to be a Hannah McNair project for the future if they ever want to get Hopkins in the Ring of Honor, because he's definitely towards the top of players that you would consider for that, though I don't think he would be a lock from everyone in the fan base, and certainly not from those who thought that his off-the-field issues, which were like what? Like he has a child?
His baby mamas showing up.
No baby mamas in the Ring of Honor, right?
It's not his fault that the baby mamas came to practice.
I think it is. I think it is. You know what? I'm actually just happy that DeAndre Hopkins showed up to practice that day. So
DeAndre's there. They knew where to find him, so he was at practice.
I'd be more mad about him not going to practice than the baby mamas being there.
I still like need more details. Like, was it always like were there always just people at practice, like family, but they came and caused a ruckus, or were they just like knocking on the bubble? Telling DeAndre to come outside.
Also, if I'm a family member of an NFL player, like, trust me, I'd be super psyched. I don't want to go to practice. I don't want to watch you guys practice. Have you seen a football practice? It's not that entertaining.
Speaking of trades, the Browns say they will not trade Myles Garrett, who just asked for a trade.
So I don't believe that.
As what you have to say.
Yep.
They're going to trade Myles Garrett.
They will definitely trade Myles Garrett.
You have to. They're terrible. They have terrible contracts. They're going nowhere. He's the only like valuable asset pretty much on their team at this point. Like you have to trade him.
Last thing that we heard from Roger Goodell at his press conference yesterday. An 18-game season for the NFL will happen in the next 2 to 3 years, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I wonder what that work is.
My guess is where the buys go and what the players are going to get back in return for this. Because there's going to be some kind of concession because the collective bargaining agreement goes until 2030, I think it is. So they're going to have to rip it up to make this change. So the players are going to have to get something substantial in return that they think is substantial. Most likely it won't be. It'll most likely be something totally inconsequential that the players agree to vote
just
on.
Just like less mini camps or
something. Like legalizing weed, basically.
Cool. Didn't they already do that? I feel like the last four CBAs, they've legalized smoking pot.
But like they lessen the punishments, they lessen this testing every time. It seems like it's a major issue all the time, and they ignore other stuff. But yeah, so like they just have to figure that out. But look, at this point for me, it's happening. Yeah. He also said the 16 games overseas he's working on in one season, which is crazy to me.
Ew.
16 games overseas.
Any games overseas.
Yeah, but one every week.
I'd allow Mexico and Canada.
Because they're not overseas.
Because they're future American territories. Oh, yeah. Greenland, too. But, yeah.
I mean, they're going to Berlin this year. The Eagles have already committed to playing in Australia in 2026.
I can get down with Australia.
Which is crazy.
They have to plan it far ahead.
Where's Ireland? They play college football games in Ireland every year.
Good question.
They're more college. They're
anti-Irish discrimination.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I bet Ireland's on the table eventually. But
yeah.
For now, 18-game seasons are 2 to 3 away, and that's probably going to be the plan. Every team plays an international game or something like that. Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Paul Gallant, Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube, at ESPN Houston on Twitch, at ESPN 97.5. Up next, we are 8 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. We continue our countdown with the latest from the Astros media luncheon today, including Dana Brown talking about Alex Bregman in the past tense. Stick around.